As movement, as well as ready movement at ready_movement, and of course we are live streaming right now on Facebook, so be a part of the conversation. And yes, we also have a U Report platform, Lois.
Yes, you just send SMS the word Randiri to 33500. I'll repeat, just SMS the word Randiri to 33500, and it's absolutely for me. Please do join in and just share whatever you have, any questions that you have. Please do send in those messages.
And, you know, Lois, what you were saying is very, very important. I think if at all anything, COVID-19 should remind us as families how important family is, and that family is everything. And on that note, because our children, our young people are no longer going to all these, participating in all these various, you know, programs that they are part of, institutions that they are part of, which include school and church. It means that the family has to be where, you know, all the information is really coming from. So, you know, we do encourage parents and guardians out there to, you know, to speak to the young people, speak to the children. Let's open up. Let's start to talk to each other a lot more. And on that note, Auntie Wongai, what can parents do to ensure children, adolescents, are supported in dealing with events that it can impact their mental health?
Thanks for that, Peshi and Liz. I think that's a very key and important thing, especially now at this time. You know, a lot of the times you find that parents think that children are fragile, or sometimes their children cannot understand, you know, some of these very serious things. And so, you know, we keep the conversations, you know, in the adult realm, but we never sort of take them to the, you know, to the children, and we never, you know, talk to them about what's going on. And the children can read our distress, anxiety, our fears, and then they also can read that things are not okay. And when we don't give them an explanation or a narrative about what's going on, then it opens up children to, you know, making up their own narratives in their own minds. And they also, you know, become, you know, very vulnerable to lies and myths, or to having their friends who might not know what's going on as well as we do as the adults, to also then give our children valuable information that we as parents should be given. And so the important thing for parents to note is that children adapt when they understand what's going on. And so it's very important to not leave children in the dark, because that also makes them very anxious. So even in this time, we encourage them to talk about COVID-19, to talk about in a child-friendly manner, because sometimes you can use these very big words that children won't be able to understand. But depending on their age, you need to talk about, you know, we can talk about illness and sickness, you know, represented by genes. You know, when you're talking to kids that are around 5, 6, or even 7, 8, but as they grow older and the understanding becomes better, you also then, you know, raise the language a little bit, because you know they'll understand. So if you talk about germs, you talk about, you know, not wanting the kids to get the germs, that's why they're not playing with their friends and all of those kind of things, then children can understand why you're putting these boundaries. And also, you then also talk about fear and worry, because they will naturally worry. They worry about themselves, they worry about the parents, if they don't have the right information. So it's actually quite important to talk about COVID, to talk about how it affects people. And children also understand about death and loss and dying, because they, you know, they see birds dying in the, you know, when they're playing outside in the playing fields and things like that. And so when you can represent that, to say you remember that bird, you remember that insect, you know, and you talk about it, then they can also understand, and it also reduces anxiety and worry or fear that they feel when they have a story or a narrative about what's going on around them and what they should do to sort of also protect themselves. So it's an important area that we should not forget about, because when children are well, then also, and we also are well, then the household is well, and we can all be safe and protected.
that's so true, Auntie Hongai. And it's possible to still have a happy home during this mm-hmm. time when everything seems so chaotic. And, you know, it's also important mm-hmm. that we also talk to these young people about their use on social media. You know, the responsibility they have as in what to forward, because we're getting so much information on social media, and without mm-hmm. thinking, a lot of information is going out there and most of it not verified. So it's important that we also talk to them about that and the responsibility they have.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So, you know, young people do have a voice, and, you know, they are also agent of change in this area that we are in. And, you know, they have a lot, we have a lot that we have to learn from adolescents and young people. And I think mm-hmm. it's good that we share it with the world. And we were fortunate to reach out to some of the young people, and they managed to share about their fears and worries with the current environment. So let's hear from them and listen and see how best we can change whatever that we are doing in our programming, in our community, in our families, in our homes. So let's hear from them.
My worst fears, for starters, mostly I fear death, because everyone is falling prey to the pandemic, and we are overlooking the slightest things that are making us fall prey to the pandemic. And it wouldn't be a shocker, me waking up in the morning, like tomorrow morning, and being told that I've tested positive for COVID-19. It wouldn't be a shocker, because COVID-19 is taking everyone, even the people we least expected from. And the second thing being that our services, our health services, they're deteriorating as we go, in the sense that we have to observe social distancing, there's wearing of masks, there's sanitization. So when I go to the hospital for my healthcare checkups, I sit with my nurse observing social distancing and also be wearing my mask. I've got some secretive things that I might be wanting to tell to my nurse, but I cannot say those things simply because we're observing social distancing. One. Two, I'll have to be yelling through my mask so that the person who is 6 feet away from me can hear me, which means that the person next to me or the person outside or the person just walking by through the window can hear what I'm trying to tell my nurse. So it's becoming hard. That secrecy, it's no longer there because of the social distancing and the wearing of masks. It has a huge impact on my life personally, because it's a huge setback to my life, because I've got a lot of things that I should have covered. Like the whole of this year, I should have covered a lot of things. But as we all can see and we all know that we started this year with a lockdown, and it's becoming hard for people to move. It's becoming hard for us personally to achieve our certain goals, for us to receive, to get our health services like privately. It's becoming hard. So the pandemic really, it's a huge setback, and it's a huge threat to everyone's life, not to just myself, but to everyone. It has huge impact. They might be different. They might differ from person to person, but it's really hard living life in this pandemic.
I fear for my life. The world is getting darker and darker because of COVID-19.
Well, I do have fears, especially in terms of my health. Some weeks ago, I got ill, and to tell you, I got very much afraid. I fear that maybe my health won't be able to combat this illness, this virus, this COVID-19, this pandemic. And what I fear most, though, despite my health, is the fact that maybe this COVID-19 thing will be a part of our lives forever. And it has really brought my life to a standstill. Like, you cannot really get much done. You're just stuck in the home. And that can be pretty boring, especially when you're a young lady like me and you have much aspirations about your life.
Well, those are, you know, some of the comments from our young people. And there are more of them. Lois?
So some of the comments that we got, we're like this. one of the young person said, I am afraid that it catches a family member and we all end up getting it, and getting money is hard of late. How do we survive? And the other one said, with the current situation where people close to us are dying, quick spreading of the virus, I fear a lot for my health. The uncertainty of when this pandemic will end also has me panicking, as it is affecting our day-to-day life. You find that most breadwinners aren't earning income, which makes life become hard. And one of the young people said, with people moving out to earn an income over the festive season, really aided with spreading of the virus through, though we have the lockdown in place, some are not following the guidelines, which increases the spread of the virus. So I fear that my loved ones might get it. And what happens? Then the other one said, this time in your vocation, so I fear I might get it. But now there's all of the skills to live. Young Africa, because I was expecting the course, but I'm now lost. So these are the comments that we got from young people, and you could see that, or you could feel that there is a lot of anxiety, there are issues going on that needs to be addressed, and thank you, Auntie Mugai, really for joining us today for this episode and sharing some of the support systems that are available, which are being provided by AfriCaid across the future three districts that you have mentioned. So it's really a dilemma as a patient.
The hope is that for those that are listening and you've been having the same feelings, you understand that you are not alone. So all these feelings that you've been hearing young people are talking about and going through, there are young people all over the world also thinking the same thing. So you really are not alone. Now, Skills to Live is a program that seeks to empower vulnerable adolescents and young people, including those infected and affected with HIV, with technical skills. Now, the program is a joint collaboration between Frontline AIDS, Young Africa International, AfriCaid, and the Kingdom of the Netherlands. Now, adolescents and young people between the ages of 19 to 26 years are enrolled at Chitungwiza and Epworth, and young Africa vocational training centers. This is for 10 months. They're not only trained on technical skills, but entrepreneurship, life skills, including sexual and reproductive health and rights, so that they are informed to make healthier choices. Yeah. And, you know, these are all, you know, very, very, very important skills. And, of course, thanks to these organizations, it's good to know that there are organizations out there that are just reaching out and trying to make life better for young people and adolescents. Now, from these responses, Auntie Mugai, you heard all the responses from the young people. Is there additional advice to the young people listening who may be having similar fears?
Mm-hmm. You know,